Glory to God. God is so good. I believe that we are entering a new season, if you will, when it comes to the things of church. I believe that you are going to start to see things in the church, in this building, but in the church body, the people. A change, a shift. We've been talking about a shift. And I believe that shift is manifesting itself. And I don't think it's, you know, with an earthquake, you might have one big bam and it's done. I believe this shift is building. There'll be, how am I saying this? There'll be multiple transitions in this shift. I don't know if that's correct. But you'll see different things occurring with this shift. You'll see things happening in the body that we've been praying about and believing for years and years and years. They will start to come to fruition. You'll see it. You'll see it with your natural eye. The things that will be happening, the manifestations of the Spirit. You'll be seeing those things. And I believe, I do, how many enjoyed Brother Savell?
Oh,
do you want to see the glory of God?
Yes.
The glory of God. What did he say the glory of God was? It was the manifested presence of God, the manifested power of God, and the manifested goodness of God. The glory of God. But what did he share? A couple things that he saw in the realm of the Spirit, I believe, that have to precede that. Right? Hunger was one of them. Prayer. Expectation. And you got to speak it. You got to talk it. You know, I believe, and I was just meditating on this the other day, I believe that we have done our part, maybe not to the fullness of it, but our part in speaking it. We've been talking about it. We've been talking about this being a house of miracles, spiritual hospital where people are being set free. You know, we've been talking that pretty good. I believe that we have received a mandate to focus on prayer. Amen? Would y'all agree with those two statements? But what the Spirit of God showed me is there a hunger? And is there an expectation? As the body of Christ, how hungry are you to see the glory of God? How hungry are you to see His manifested presence, power, and goodness? How hungry are you? You know, Jerry Savelle said that hungry people do desperate things. And I believe he was equating it to, you know, if you get a picture of, and I'll tell you, this just came up to when I was in Haiti on a mission trip. We saw this, and I don't know if he shared it here or at Jubilee, but he talked about people picking through the trash. I saw that with my own eyes in Haiti. Mound of trash. I mean, this trash was... It was so picked over, you couldn't even think that... I mean, it almost looked like rocks and rubble. But there were people still picking things out of it. I'm not saying it was all food, you understand, but out of desperation, out of their great hunger, their great need, their great desire, they were picking through. How hungry are we? How desperate are we to see the glory of God? How desperate are we? Hungry people do desperate things. Not all of them good, I understand. Some break laws. We're not lawbreakers. But how hungry are we? And if we have a hunger and we're praying and we're speaking it out, do we have expectation to receive what we're talking about? Or do we do it out of rote? Do we do it out of... tradition? Do we do it because we've been told to? Do we repeat it because someone says repeat it? Or is it revelation to us? Has it taken root in us to where we expect to see what we speak? Or is it clouded in unbelief? You know, Jesus said, I can do no mighty works, even in his own hometown, because of their unbelief. So I believe that was a key word that he brought, and I believe it. We've been talking about a shift. We've been talking about transition. I believe that it accelerated that in the realm of the Spirit. His word that he brought accelerated that shift that is occurring here at CGC, and I believe in the body of Christ universal. Amen? Amen. I just want to open it up too. Do you know Gene Smith said something to me last week talking about testimonies? We all know that we are overcomers by the word of our testimony. And he said that, you know, we used to have testimonies all the time here, and that we need to get back to that, if you will, because why? Somebody needs to hear your overcoming story. Because I guarantee you, maybe in a body this small, you know, someone else is going through the exact same thing, but they can identify with what you have gone through and how you've been victorious over it, and it encourages and edifies and lifts them up to get through what they're going through. And I know that Jerry Savelle ministered to some people here. Does anyone have a testimony of what was ministered to them that they want to share to encourage the body? Peggy. She's got one.
Did I? Number one, listen to what Pastor Todd is teaching us. The word is taught here. I don't know how many of y'all remember. I used to bring a picture of my family, my husband, and I'd hold it up before the Lord. I was praying. But there was a time I was starting to get a little weary. And then I got a word that the Lord gave Pastor Todd to tell me. So it got me back. The hunger took place again. This is a praying church. I put in another prayer request for David to specifically, David is my husband, specifically to come hear Jerry. And long story, I mean, my husband is a good, good man. He just needs to know Jesus. But I want to thank everyone. From the bottom of my heart is not deep enough. To everyone that has took their time, their willingness, even their hunger for me to see a result in my life. That's precious to me. That is precious to me. I mean, you gave your time, your energy. You didn't have to, because like I said, there was a while I was kind of waning a little bit, kind of growing weary. But then I invited my husband to come. I told him, I said, there's going to be a special guest speaker coming Sunday night, and I want him to go with me. And I said, it's going to be at night. I don't want to ride by myself. I said, Pastor Rob and Tricia's going to be there. So on the way here, he asked me, he said, who's going to be speaking? I said, Jerry Savelle. Oh. I mean, if you was to know the conversation that me and my husband, we almost split up because of Kenneth Copeland one time. We got in a big argument. Yes. So when Brother Jerry was still started talking about what he went through to hear the goodness of God, Brother Copeland, I thought, Lord, that's everything my husband needed to hear. One person. I mean, I don't know if anybody else needed to hear that. We don't give God the Father enough credit to attention for one, at least one. Amazing. So that is my praise report. And He'll soon be back again because Amen. This is his new beginning.
Amen. Amen.
For this is a year of new beginnings.
Amen. Amen.
And he'll be back.
Amen.
And so will the rest of my family.
Amen.
Because when my husband starts faith, gaining the faith, then you know how we all, when we first get born again, how we want to tell everybody? Then he'll tell his kids.
Amen.
Then his kids will want to come.
Amen.
Of course, his grandkid has been here and sowed seed anyway. But again, thank you. Yeah. And this is a house of miracles.
Amen. 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 A testimony to never, ever give up.
Amen.
Never give up. And not only that, but that's what the body does. We surround one another and lift them up and encourage them. It may not be to their face, but it's in prayer. It's in prayer that we do that. Amen? Rita?
I want you to know that this is an answer to prayer for me, that we would begin to have testimonies, because just as Pastor Todd was beginning to talk about it, I was sitting here saying, I wish we could do that. I wish we could do that. Because I believe that the manifestation of the glory of God has already begun in this church. But we just don't know about it because we haven't had the testimonies. That all of us sitting in here, if we think about it, we have seen something that God has done. And we know for sure it was God that did it. Because we have been trying in our own effort for the longest time to get it done, and nothing was happening. So prior to Jerry Savelle coming, because I wanted you to know I was listening, you wanted to know after. So prior to his coming, I was driving on the road on my way to Northern Virginia and doing about 70 miles an hour and fell asleep at the wheel. And I mean, I was just out cold. Well, I believe God sent an angel to finish driving that car for me. And so people will say, eh, but I believe God sent an angel. Because I felt a touch on the side of my face, ever so gentle. Nobody else was in the car with me. And I woke up and I saw myself in the other lane. And I don't know how I got over there except an angel, because you know you have to turn the wheels to get over in the other lane, and I was still going straight. There was a car behind me, looked like maybe 5 feet behind me, being very patient, and then I was able to realize where I was and scoot back over into the lane where I was supposed to be so that the other car could go by. And it took him the longest time, as though he could tell that I was having trouble and he wanted to make sure I was okay. Now, I can't prove any of that, but here I am standing here today. Knowing.
Hallelujah.
Knowing that that was God working within my life, allowing me to have continued opportunity to fulfill my assignment.
Amen.
Because nothing that the enemy can do can interrupt my assignment.
Amen.
So I praise God because I know he intervenes even when we're asleep.
Amen. Glory, glory. Thank you, Rita. Tina?
I don't need that.
Yeah, you do.
I'm loud.
You do.
I have two. One is Pastor Jerry Savelle. I had been dealing on and off with an addiction. And I kept thinking that I was physically addicted. But what God revealed to me after that meeting was that it wasn't a physical addiction for me. It was a psychological addiction for me. We're talking about smoking. I mean, because I'd quit and then do it again and quit. But anyway, and so now that I have that revelation, it's like it was so much easier to quit, because I'm like, this is all in my head,
yeah.
Not that I need it. My body doesn't want it.
Right.
Anyway, so thank God. So far, everything's been perfect.
Hallelujah.
But,
hallelujah.
So anyway, the other is before Jerry. A couple years ago, I started praying to be able to see my mom again. I haven't seen her in like 19 years. If you don't know anything about me, I was raised in a children's home, which is not a sad thing. It's a blessing. Thank God for that place. Anyway, but I haven't seen her in a long time. And I have been praying. I've actually been praying that God would provide a way for me to get to her. So, and she lives in Ohio with my oldest brother. Anyway, so last week or a week before last, I got a call from my brother, one of my brothers, that my mom and my other brothers were all going to come down to Yorktown to another brother, and we're going to have a family reunion for the first time.
Wow.
And so I believe, you know, and she's well enough. She just turned 80 years old. And all these other years, she's just been real sickly. And now she's able, she's well enough and able and wanting to come. So we're all going to be able to see each other again. And I'm believing God for a restoration.
Amen.
For our family.
Amen.
And to restore.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. What is our battle cry? Restore, restore, restore. Hallelujah. That stronghold is broken in your life once and forever. Cigarettes have no control over you anymore. That nicotine, no control over you. And great grace will be upon that meeting of restoration with you and your mom. I believe that. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Isn't this good? I mean, this is what it is to be a part of a family where we can celebrate together. The Word says we'll cry together. And we'll celebrate together. And expressing and sharing our victories, our miracles, is what we need to do. Amen. And I'm so glad that we have miracles happening. Y'all know I'm a walking miracle. A walking miracle that I need to give more glory to God for each and every day. I need to share my story more and more. I know y'all have heard it. I'm not going to share it again. But I'm going to share it more and more to encourage other people that have gone through similar or the same thing. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Well, it was good. It was a good meeting for y'all that missed it. It was a wonderful time in the Lord. We celebrated the prophet in the house, and he brought a good word. And I believe, like you said, that word for me, at least for me, and I believe for this church, has accelerated some things with this shift that we're going through. And then how many were here for Pastor Rob on Sunday? How many were challenged? I was challenged. I was challenged. You know, he's talking about keeping first things first, putting the kingdom of God first. And we know that when we do that, we know that when we put the kingdom of God first, all these things that we seek after will be granted unto us. Amen? He talked about out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He said, what are you speaking to your friends and people in the marketplace? What are you speaking? Are you just being, you know, nice and saying, hi, how was your day? Or are you speaking the oracles of God? And I'm not saying you have to quote scripture. But are you speaking? Are you living? Are you living that life of God before all men in the marketplace, your friends, your family? And I'm going to share where I missed it last week. I missed it big time. And I believe that the Holy Spirit will give me another opportunity to make it right. But I was in Lowe's, and I had to return something. And I went up to the counter, and the lady there was checking me out or processing my thing, and she had some tattoos on her, and there was one right here on her, I believe it was right here. And I don't remember exactly what it said. I endeavored to memorize it, and I couldn't, but it said something to this effect, something about I daily have to quiet my demons, something to that effect. And I believe God opened the door. I said, she was just checking me out, and I just out of the blue, I said, well, what are your demons? And she had to sit there and think about it for a second. And she said, it kind of caught her off guard. And she said, well, they're asleep now. And I missed it. I missed my opportunity. Because what I wanted to say was, well, do you want to get rid of them permanently? And I missed it. I missed it. But I'm going to go back and I'm going to find that girl and I'm going to strike up a conversation with her again. Because Jesus is the one that can deliver her permanently from those demons. And that is the stuff that I'm talking about as a church that we need to be doing in the, when I say in the marketplace, and we just need to be talking about the goodness of God in the marketplace. And He will open doors like that. And you may falter just like I did. I missed it. I blew it. But He'll open a door again. If you, you know, the first step they'll tell you about anything is recognizing. I recognize that I missed it. So I will endeavor to do better the next time. But that's what we need to be doing, church. That's what we need to be doing. It's not a hard thing. I'm telling you, if you are giving attention to the Word like you ought to be, these things are not hard. These things are not difficult. These things are not overwhelming. Because some of you are thinking right now, there is no way that I would talk to anybody in a public place about the things of God. There is no way I would mention the name of Jesus in a public place to someone that I don't know. And some of you, when I say that, you're taking it as a mandate from me to go and do that, and it makes your skin clammy just thinking about it. Just thinking that you would have to mention the name of Jesus. It ought not be so, church. You ought to be so in love with your God and so in love with Jesus that it is easy for you to mention the name of Jesus to anyone that He opens the door to. Now, I'm not talking, hey, there are some that might be called to go out there and street evangelize. I'm not talking about, I'm just talking about in conversation with people. Amen? I have gotten way off course, but I believe it's good. I believe that the Lord is doing some things in this body because He has an assignment for us. He has an assignment for this body specifically. And we are coming into alignment with that assignment. This is the year of alignment. I believe that. He's showing us some things. But what are we speaking? And what, you know, Pastor Rob challenged me, and, you know, what is keeping you from the Word of God? What are some things that are keeping you from the Word of God? What are some things that are keeping you from gathering with like-minded believers? What are some things that are keeping you from being discipled in a class? What are some things that are keeping you from prayer? Public, corporate prayer and private prayer. He challenged me in some things. And that's good. We need to be challenged. So many churches today. I read something and it rung with me. Are miles wide and an inch deep. What does that mean? They're not deep enough. They're not going deep enough. I want to go deep. I want to be firmly rooted and grounded in the things of God here at Christian Growth Center. And it may not be comfortable for other people. I don't know. You know, Jesus did not make people comfortable, did He? He did not make people comfortable. He preached truth. And truth convicts. And when people get convicted, they don't like it. We want to be a church of truth. Preaching faith, right? We are sowing faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. We are sowing faith. We are growing in righteousness, in our right standing with God, who we are in Christ. And as we grow, we cannot be offended. We will not be offended. And we will go and do what the Lord has required of us. Amen? So let God have first place. And like Brother Jerry said, you want to see the glory? Speak it. Speak it. Faith speaks. Faith speaks. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Oh, glory to God. I believe we are in exciting, very, very exciting times. I believe that, you know, you can look throughout history of revivals and awakenings, and you can look at, you know, the healing wave and the different waves that have come over the church age. And, you know, there is always, you can even look to, you can even look in the natural realm to the marketplace where people have been in place and something, for instance, the internet, a new invention that came out that revolutionized the way people communicate. And there are certain people that were in place that took advantage of that. And when I say took advantage, they either made a lot of money with it or they created things with it. People are in place when things come to take advantage of that season, that time, that shift. I believe Christian Growth Center is such a place that we are here to take advantage of the shift that is occurring. And you all are playing a part. You all have a part in that. You all have an assignment in that. And part of my responsibility is to encourage you in that assignment. To encourage you in that assignment. Amen? Romans 1, verse 16. I'll read out of the King James. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just or the righteous shall live by faith." We are to live by faith. Live by faith. Live by faith. What is the victory that overcomes the world? Even our faith. That's why faith is such a, it's a cornerstone here at Christian Growth Center. You've been taught faith for 30 plus years here. And we'll continue to teach faith. We'll continue to sow faith. For all those that are going to be coming in that may have never heard about faith before. I'm telling you, religion is getting its teeth knocked out. It is. Religious spirits are getting their teeth knocked out of them, if I can say it that way. Tradition is going to be set aside for a real encounter with the one true God. And these are the things that have to happen in this season that we're in. Have to happen in this season that we're in. Amen? We teach these truths so that we can pass them down from generation to generation. Turn to Psalm 78. I shared out of Psalms last time that I spoke. I know it's been a while. Y'all might have forgot my name. Pastor Rob was in and Bob Goad was here. Thank God for Bob and Pastor Rob. Bob and Rob, they rhyme. And God. Psalm 78. Why are we here? Why are we doing what we're doing? Why are we sowing these things? Why do we sow faith? Why do we grow in righteousness? Why do we go into the world and share the good news? Why do we why do we teach these things that we do? Well, part of it has to do with Psalm 78. And I read a lot of it last time. I'm not going to read that much. I just want to read verses 1 through 8 out of the King James. It says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth." We're to pay attention. Amen? "I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. That's a heck of a responsibility, isn't it? To teach the next generation. You know, who was it, Brother Hagin, that said that if we don't teach about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, will be lost in a generation. Do I have that incorrect? But if we don't teach the children, the next generation, about these things, they'll be lost. And that is our responsibility, to teach, to sow faith, to tell the next generation about the good things of God. I wonder, you know, what will our children and our children's children, what will they receive from us? What legacy will you leave your children and your children's children? Or your family? What legacy will you leave? Will it be one of the goodness of God, or will history record our generation as stubborn and rebellious as they did what we just read? A generation that did not set its heart aright, whose spirit was not faithful, as it said, to God, or not in alignment with God's assignment. Here's a definition for you. Faithful. Steadfast in affection or allegiance. Steadfast in affection or allegiance. Firm in adherence to promises or in observance of duty. Firm in adherence to promises. Given with strong assurance, true to facts, to a standard, or to an original. Who is our standard? Who is the original? And are we true to the facts of that? Are we teaching that to the next generation? Something else Jerry Savelle said that struck a chord with me. He said, "You'll be glad. You will be glad that you remained faithful. You will be glad that you remained faithful." Don't give up. That's where that "don't give up" came from, Peggy. Don't give up. If God has shown you something, don't give up on it. And if he keeps bringing something back up before you, don't give up on it. Now, you've got to compare those things with Scripture, right? If he shows you something, you got to compare it to Scripture. Is this the will of God? If it is the will of God and he shows it to you, and that keeps rising up on the inside of you, don't give up. No matter how long, no matter what the pressure, we don't grow weary in well-doing. Amen? Amen. That verse didn't say that our flesh was not faithful, but our spirit is faithful. You see, when your flesh is faithful, that's religion. Right? That's the works of man, when your flesh is faithful. Oh, I'm not going to go there. We've got to be faithful in our spirit. We got to be obedient to what? To all that he has commanded us to do. All that he has commanded us to do. John 14:15 says, "If you really love me, you will keep and obey my commandments." Listen to this. We will do the same works. He says, "Do the same works that I do, and even greater." We've got to compare our lives to the life of Jesus. What works was he doing in the earth? Think about it. Turn to Luke 4 and I'll tell you about it. Where am I? I'm in the Old Testament. Luke 4, verse 18. This, he was teaching in the synagogue, Jesus was. He pulled out the scroll of Isaiah and was reading it. And he said in verse 18, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news." That's the gospel to the poor. "He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity, to proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and free favors of God profusely abound." That was the work Jesus was doing. That is the work we are to be doing. Preaching the gospel to the poor, setting the captives free, bringing sight to the blind, raising the dead, casting out demons. We find that in Mark. We're to be doing these things. I'm all for helping people in need, providing food, clothing, Thanksgiving dinners, backpacks to children. But I wonder, and I have to ask myself, would Jesus be doing that? I'm not saying we shouldn't, don't get me wrong. Would he be catching the fish for them or teaching them how to fish? As a body of Christ, this is our call. This is our duty. This is our responsibility. This is what we are to do. This is how we are to be in this earth, just as he is. Just as he is. Turn over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10. Let me read this out of King James, starting in verse 1. In the King James, the title I have for this chapter is The Mission of the Twelve, but I think we could say it's the mission of every Christian. It says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first Simon, who's called Peter," and I'm going to read these because some of us need to know who the 12 apostles were. "The first Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying," he commanded them, it's a command from Jesus, "saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach." What are they doing? Help me out. Preaching. "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give." He commanded us to deliver the oppressed, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. Basically, what is our battle cry? Basically, bring restoration everywhere you go. You're to bring restoration wherever you go. Into any situation, any circumstance, any relationship, you, as a child of God, are to bring restoration to it. But notice in verse 7, he says, "As you go preaching the kingdom of heaven." You want signs and wonders? Then you best be preaching the kingdom of heaven wherever you go. Again, that is not standing on a street corner on top of a box. It could be. Quoting scripture, but it is building relationship and identifying open doors and walking through those open doors as they present themselves. Just like that lady, we all miss it. Listen, I missed it. I can't count with my fingers and toes how many times I have missed it. An open door that I knew the Lord was providing for me to walk through, to bring restoration to an area in someone's life. And I missed it. We've all missed it. We all have. But if we identify it, if we recognize it, the next time we'll be ready. The next time we'll be ready. Turn over to Matthew 11. One page over in my Bible. Let me read this out of the Amplified. In verse 20. Matthew 11:20 said, "Then he began to censor and reproach the cities in which most of his mighty works had been performed." What mighty works are we talking about? We just read them. "Because they did not repent and their hearts were not changed." See, you are not, as you present the gospel, you are not responsible for that person making a change in their life. That is not your responsibility. You've got to get that out of your head. You're like, if I present this to them and they reject it, they're rejecting me. No, they're rejecting the Christ. They are not rejecting you. That should take some pressure off of you. All you're doing is presenting. You're a presenter. You know, in the sales world, they have two types of salesmen. There's their closers and the presenters. Some just present the facts and they allow the customer to make the decision. Some are closers. They go in and they close the sale. They used to call them finders and grinders. Some are finders, some are grinders. I don't know which kind I was. I think Tony was a grinder, though. I think he put the pressure on him. You're going to buy now. Verse 20, are you there? "Then he began to censor and reproach the cities in which most of his mighty works had been performed because they did not repent and their hearts were not changed. He said, 'Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would long ago have repented in sackcloth and ashes, and their hearts would have been changed. I tell you further, it shall be more endurable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, are you to be lifted up to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades, the region of the dead. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have continued until today. But I tell you, it shall be more endurable for the land of Sodom on the day of judgment than for you." Why? Because they did not repent. They did not change their ways. The word was there before their eyes. The mighty works were being done. And they did not repent. Mighty works are still to be done. Jesus said the greater works you will even do. And I believe the NRV has something coming. I believe the New River Valley is in for something tremendous, a mighty, mighty move of God. And I believe that we are at the core of it as a body. I believe that. I believe that we are strategic, church, yes. Wanda shared a definition of the word strategic this morning. The ability to I wrote it down in my book. To render the enemy incapable of making war. The ability to render the enemy incapable of making war. Strategic. Why are we strategic? Why is Christian Growth Center strategic? Because we are going to render the enemy incapable of making war. This is our assignment. It's one of our assignments, is to not give the New River Valley over to the enemy. And let me close with this. I want to share, and you've heard maybe bits and pieces. I don't know how much you've heard. But in light of this being the year of alignment and coming in alignment with our assignment, I believe that this is an assignment of the Lord for this body for such a time as this. We are calling it Operation School Guard. It is an initiative, a prayer initiative for this body. Operation School Guard. What we're doing, Wanda and Missy are putting together some packets. And in that packet, it will have general information about, you know, there's 42 schools, elementary, middle, and high school in the New River Valley, what we call the New River Valley, the counties that make up the New River Valley. And there's some 20,000 students in those schools. And they are, if you may not want to believe this, but they are our responsibility to watch over them. Wanda in prayer class today was talking about being a watchman and what that means and the responsibility of it. So what we are going to do is we are going to put a tool in your hand. And this is my hope and our desire that every school have at least one person committed to that school to pray for that school, for the administration of that school, for the staff of that school, for the students of that school, for their protection, their deliverance, their guidance. So what we're doing is we are putting packets together that are going to have the superintendent's name, the school board's representative name, the principal of the school, and the administrative staff and their names. And we may or may not have all the staff names, I don't think, but we're certainly not going to have all the student names. But you don't need the specific names to pray, to commit. And I'm talking about commitment to pray for this school every day. And it's my hope that every school will be represented by at least one person in this church to pray for that school and those students and that staff. So we're putting all that together. It is part of our assignment in this season. You know, I believe that we have, the Lord issues specific assignments, right? Specific assignments for specific times. And I believe that this is a time, and, you know, we talked about the Holy Spirit, how He leads and guides us, right? The Holy Spirit leads and guides us. He shows us things to come. And I shared this morning. I hesitate to share it because I don't want you to think that something bad is coming. I don't mean it in that sense. But I believe that He is warning us. I mean, you can't, you know the news, you see the news, you see what's going on. Whether these attacks in these schools are to the magnitude that the news is reporting that they are happening, I believe He's warning us. And we have an opportunity to get out ahead of the enemy. Amen. In this area. Amen. We have an opportunity to be strategic and make the enemy incapable of making war in the New River Valley when it comes to our students, our schools, their staff, their administration. So this is a new prayer initiative that will be coming out. We'll be launching this at the end of August. August. We're working diligently to put all this together. So I just want you to be, let's go out ahead, you individually, in prayer about this. I believe God is preparing your heart for this initiative. I do. I believe, and you know, these things will, and I'll share more, I believe, as we get closer. But my hope and desire is that God will give you such a love for that school in your prayer time with it, that it may spill over into other things. You may find yourself volunteering at the school, and I'm not saying you have to. All I think that the Spirit of the Lord is requiring from us at this point is prayer. Prayer. Is there not a cause? Or is the next generation not worth 5 minutes of our time every day? 2 minutes of our time every day. Is the next generation not worth that? Is there not a cause? I believe this is part of our assignment. This is not all-encompassing of what this church is, not by any means. But it is part of our assignment. And I'm excited about seeing things happen in this New River Valley. And I believe this is just part of it. This is part of it. So I hope that y'all will prayerfully consider that, keep it before you, and lay it on your heart, and we will see tremendous things. And you know what? We may not see tremendous things, but we're not going to see devastation and ruin and attack and death in our schools. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah.